Once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. Listeners, here it is, the 25th of October, celebration of UN Week, the 60th anniversary of the United Nations system. And so much is being embroiled into that UN system that nobody pays attention to, and there is the big crux of the problem. How to increase the numbers of listeners and people that are concerned about what's going on today. That is my whole goal, is to increase numbers of individuals that want to understand how we're being maneuvered and deceived on a daily basis, on an absolute daily basis. We are being maneuvered and deceived constantly. And it's very, very obvious to those of us that do research that that is the case. Here we see 11 minutes ago, people, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Repair crews across Florida struggled Tuesday to restore electricity to up to 6 million people, reopen the region's airports, and replace countless windows blown out of downtown high-rises during Hurricane Wilma's ruinous dash across the state. So we've had Katrina, Rita, Wilma. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that absolutely remarkable how this is going on? And many out there understand weather modification and the ability to manipulate the weather. Here we see 14 minutes ago out of Havana, floodwaters from Hurricane Wilma that transformed the coastal streets of Cuba's capital into rivers began receding today, leaving behind damage to historic buildings and the famed Malecon Seawall. 28 minutes ago... I see. 34 minutes ago, the deaths of over 200 patients at Louisiana nursing homes and hospitals during and just after Hurricane Katrina are being examined for evidence of crimes ranging from neglect to mercy killing, the state prosecutor's office has said. Isn't that amazing? 49 minutes ago, lawmakers will investigate loan delays to hurricane-ravaged small companies along the Gulf Coast. The head of a Senate committee that oversees the Small Business Administration said today. 2 hours and 8 minutes ago out of Reuters. Cancun, Mexico. People, desperate tourists, scrambled to flee Mexico's Caribbean coast on Tuesday after Hurricane Wilma forced many into damp, stinking shelters for days, devastated resorts, and swallowed up famed white beaches. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time, according to Reuters, chainsaw-wielding residents and an army of electrical repair crews attacked the shambles Hurricane Wilma left in Florida, while frustrations grew on Tuesday as thousands waited hours for supplies and gasoline. Out of Reuters, at 3:41 p.m. this afternoon Eastern Time, Senate Democrats on Tuesday questioned the qualifications of the Bush administration's choice to oversee international refugee and population issues and compared her to Michael Brown, who was blamed for bungling the federal response to Hurricane Katrina. "We wouldn't have to worry about a federal response to Hurricane Katrina because it didn't have to be steered in that direction. It could have been steered out of harm's way, listeners." U.S. existing home sales held a near record levels in September amid a surge in some areas affected by Hurricane Katrina, the National Association of Realtors have stated. At 2:14 p.m. Eastern Time today, out of Reuters, U.S. heating oil customers already hit by high fuel costs could face the loftiest fuel prices in the country this winter as below normal temperatures hit the Northeast, forecasters have said. 56 minutes ago, a nor'easterner that drew energy from the remnants of far-off Hurricane Wilma battered New England and the mid-Atlantic states with 20-foot waves and winds up to 70 miles per hour Tuesday, brought some inland areas their first snow of the season and knocked out power to about 200,000 homes and businesses. Out of Reuters, this afternoon at 12:34 p.m. Eastern Time, as Hurricane Wilma sank his houseboat and smashed others nearby to splinters, musician Rob Lerner rescued his guitars and his drums and said goodbye to his little piece of paradise. Think of all that are saying goodbye to their little pieces of paradise wherever they live in this globe when it was all unnecessary. With the fact of the matter that weather modification is a reality, steering of hurricanes is a reality, creation of earthquakes is a reality, according to former Defense Secretary William Cohen. At 11:25 this morning Eastern Time, Hurricane Wilma never made landfall in Cuba, but its ferocious waves transformed the island's capital city for a day, ripping off chunks of the famous Millican seawall and flooded many of Havana's most prominent streets. More and more information about the weather. Tremendous information by Dennis the Menace and his staff. Howling winds. This is 10:49 this morning. Howling winds and driving rain lashed the northeastern U.S. coast on Tuesday, causing power outages in Massachusetts, flight delays and forcing authorities to issue warnings for floods and high winds. It goes on. New England braces for Wilma. I don't know what the status is on that at this point in time, but where is it right now? And there is the situation. Here we see New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin said on Tuesday he had asked for temporary federal funding for courts, a jailhouse, and other critical functions in the storm-ravaged area. What a mess, listeners. What a set-up scenario we live today. How can it be? And how can we be so ignorant to the fact of the matter? I'm not talking about you. Most of you know. but the trick is to get others involved. The situation is critical to understanding the big picture in place. Otherwise, what good are we? What good are we to try to make a difference if we don't connect dots to others? Very, very important to realize this. Working together, connecting the dots, to get to as many listeners as possible is what everybody should be concentrating on, no matter what their directions are at this point in time. No matter what. Here we see weather modification, a long-established through secretive reality. Quite amazing. Deal with that in a moment. Haven't even begun to deal with bird flu yet, but here, new legislation not designed to foster pleasant or productive weather, but planned as tool to weaponize weather control. Already well tested and in use since 1976, amateur and hostile weather makers alike likely to lose their technology to the military, by Mary Sue Halliburton. Very interesting. Mary Sue Halliburton. In the late fall of 2004, Fred McKenna surveys his beloved radionics equipment with sorrow. He says, "I'm expecting a visit from the boys in black," he says, because he has been engaged in storm mitigation and deflection. He's sure that military and other authorities know of his location and activities. Fred has already begun to dispose of his regents, the active principle used for the broadcast of specific corrective energies to persons or the environment. By transferring their activity to the land itself, he hopes this might at least protect a passive aspect of his operation. But he fears that the machines themselves may no longer be in his possession by the end of the following year. It's for good reason that Fred is concerned about confiscation of his radionics machines. He has received numerous threatening phone calls. His computer has been sabotaged while connected to satellite weather data sites. And he has even been subjected to a psionic attack intended to cause a car crash, which would have happened if he had not surreptitiously made an unplanned turn off the highway. Just as he was stopping the car, he was suddenly plunged into unconsciousness, for which no medical explanation could be found. Had he continued on the road, he said, the car would have smacked into a rock face. Long before there was any public announcement, Fred and others like him have been aware of planned legislation in the United States. Just because Fred lives in Canada, he is not exempt from interference or even being arrested. The U.S. military has a very long arm, as evidenced by many examples. The U.S. feels it has the right to reach into any nation on earth to take whatever it wills by force, whether it is oil fields or weather-influencing technology. Once again, keep in mind, listeners, the U.S. military is the global cop for the U.N. system. That is the bottom line. Don't let anybody, don't believe me, don't believe anyone else. Don't believe what you read, research it for yourself, and come to your own conclusion. The U.S. military is the global cop for the U.N. system. And do not believe what I say. Find out for yourself, and if you don't care to find out for yourself, what good are you, and why even listen? Set forward as Bill S-517, which we've discussed in the past, on March 3rd of 2005, and this is scheduled to take effect and and it did evidently on October 1st, 2005, as the Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Act. I have no idea what the status was of that. I don't know where it ended, but here we are at the end of October. If it didn't pass, it would have been passed in some other snake-like legislation. Every piece of legislation being introduced by the House and the Senate is snake legislation. We don't need any more laws. We need law repealers to be elected into office, and that's just not going to happen unless the numbers increase, unless the presence increases on the airwaves of positive people that have prominent information about what's being directed at us today. The documentation comes from the State Department and the UN system. It's obvious to me that's the case. So this bill, S-517, sets up an 11-member board of directors to oversee all the research on weather control and to direct funding to projects. Now, regardless of the status of this bill, we had three hurricanes devastate the southeast, quote-unquote, region of this country. Regionalism is a UN word. Whenever you hear the word region, whenever you hear the word metropolitan, that comes from the UN system. Do not believe what I'm telling you. Research it for yourself. The wording of this AS 517 sounds typically bureaucratic and innocuous, except for the fact that the title of the act includes the words technology transfer. There is no specific reference to possible confiscation of privately held equipment. However, there are gray areas such as, and for other purposes, and how many times have we seen that in proposed legislation? And for other purposes. So according to Ms. Halliburton, this is what rings alarm bells for independent, benevolent weather modifiers like Fred, who want to normalize rainfall for farming and to lessen storm damage. And there's an example here under Section 5, duties. It says, assessments and evaluations of the efficiency of weather modification, both purposeful, including cloud seeding operations, and inadvertent, including downwind effects and anthropogenic effects. And note the reference to cloud seeding, an old method largely superseded by new technology, but still popularly equated to weather control, as it is the only one discussed in the mass media. However, some aerial spraying continues, of which the nature and purpose are hotly debated. Hotly debated? I have a feeling aerial spraying is coming to an end. There's too many people talking about it. The skies have been very clear here for quite a while. The statement only partly conceals an expectation that they will be recording evolutionary probable genetic changes and that this will regard as merely a normal part of data collection, because the word anthropogenic refers to the origin and evolution of humans. We should be asking what sort of testing is planned here. Is this new board going to be approving weather experimentation that includes genetic modifiers, treating whole human populations as guinea pigs? If so, we should all be as concerned as Fred, and aren't we, most of us, that have the eyes to see, the ears to listen? Not explained in the text is why technology transfer is in the title. And there's an entire chapter devoted to technology transfer in Agenda 21. Unless this is related to the right of the board of directors to receive, use, and dispose of gifts, and we are left to guess what that means. If the government's objective is to control the weather for military advantage, then some of these transfers may be involuntary. There's also no mention of any upper limit on gift value or whether the board members could take them for personal use, which would be a gross conflict of interest if this were for the public good. Will numbers of radionics and other types of experimental equipment be expected to give their equipment, inventions, and patents over to the board? And why would the words dispose of be included in relation to these gifts? Possibly of technology? Does this mean that the board has a carte blanche to destroy confiscated technology? Remembering that the military document on weather control is titled Owning the Weather by 2025, or Owning the Weather 2025, it is implied that no one else would be allowed to own anything that could influence the weather for either military or non-military purposes. We must all be at the mercy of the distinctly unmerciful armed forces. And let me just interject for Ms. Halliburton. The armed forces are the global cop for the UN system. The coalition is the UN system. Ever since 1945, and actually ever since January 1st, 1942, the UN system has been the global cop for the world. And I can get into World War II very easily. I studied it at a young age. According to one website, crediting as its source another site that no longer carries this report, Canada and the U.S. have entered into an agreement to exchange information about these technologies and their transboundary effects. Article 4 of this agreement requires both parties to inform the other of weather control experiments and activities prior to the commencement of such activities. However, apparently to cover their backsides, Article 7 states, quote, nothing herein relates to or shall be construed to affect the question of responsibility or liability for weather modification activities or to imply the existence of any generally acceptable rule of international law, end quote. See, listeners, it's vital. It's absolutely vital to expose weather modification right now. Everyone. Everyone, do your research. Expose it. Call legislators. Call local legislators, state legislators, congressmen, senators. Call them and expose this to them and say, look, we're all being had. Nobody is immune from this coming to their neighborhood, no matter where they live on planet Earth, listeners. No one is immune from a weather war, from an earthquake, from a volcano, and the devastation created by that. It's vital. Ms. Hutchinson Halliburton continues, also on the books in Canada is a law concerning public notification of weather modification activities. Apparently, this means that people must submit proposals with full details of what they plan to do, how large an area will be affected, and other details. As worded, the act appears to be designed to allow people in the affected area to be informed and to raise objections if they are negatively affected. An example is the use of a hail cannon, which uses a powerful supersonic shockwave to break up the hail formation process in the clouds. Due to the high decibel level, a warning whistle must be sounded in advance of each firing of the cannon so that any people who are nearby can protect their ears, I see. However, when citizens of Canada have attempted to use this act to obtain information about the weather-modifying activity known as chemtrail spraying, the public disclosure principle does not seem to be applicable. Naturally, Canada, a major player in the UN system. Mexico, a major player in the UN system. The U.S. of A, a major player of the UN system. UN system in charge. Do you know that the UN flag flies at the Toronto City Hall in Canada? One caller in Ontario ended up talking with a someone in an office in Manitoba who attempted to persuade him that this was only crop dusting, one of the usual disinformation tactics. Whether or not the information exchange agreement between Canada and the U.S. means that the Canadian government is being informed about this program, the information is not trickling down to the public. the spirit of this act is more honored in the breach than in the observance. Understand, our military is melded in with Canada's military at this point in time as well. This entire continent is being regionalized under NAFTA, GATT. It's a setup. FTAA will come into place. Arms will be twisted to make that happen. It's just a show. It's already being done. FTAA will be done at the end of the year. How can we stop it? Sheer numbers of people waking up and exposing and standing up for their country. Sheer numbers of people using their heads, using their logic to increase the listenership of what they do. What will happen to this agreement and the information legislation when the new American Weather Authority comes into being? Given all the qualifiers in the National Security Act that override all of the laws, it doesn't likely have a future. And if the planned annexation of Canada and Mexico by the U.S. goes ahead, the question will be academic anyway, and it's not the U.S., it's the U.N. However, the U.S. is the U.N. The State Department has the U.S. mission to the United Nations. The State Department is answerable to no one. The official recognition given to weather control technology by setting up a board to oversee it at this time might suggest to some that this technology is a new field, and that the research is just beginning. However, weather control has a long history. Most of you realize this. And if various observers and researchers are correct in their interpretation, the document and data we have been seeing it in use for at least 3 decades. 3 decades, listeners. I'll be back to continue the broadcast. Stay with me.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on firstamendmentradio.com and WBCQ Shortwave at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
That's Poker Face. PokerFace.com is their website. Support them as they need it, as we all need support. We all need help. Support First Amendment Radio, and their directions are on our website to support them at AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K. So let's put aside this weather modification article by Ms. Halliburton, and let's go to this. Agenda 21 for change. The road to Rio and the road from Rio. And if we have time, we'll get to transfer of development rights, TDRs, from the Nature Conservancy. That's transfer of development rights, which is a cutting-edge tool that encourages green space protection while still allowing anticipated development. I see. Slowly but surely, the noose is around our necks for private property rights under Agenda 21. So during the last two decades, people began to realize that we cannot have a healthy society or economy in a world with so much poverty and environmental degradation. Well, where does this come from, listeners? Wars, environmental wars, eco-terrorism, according to William Cohen. This is where the poverty and environmental degradation comes from. Wars, environmental wars, fires. The Global Fire Monitoring Center, a paramount part of monitoring all the fires on the globe. Keep that in mind. And the World Heritage Sites and the World Heritage Treaty. Economic development cannot stop, but it must change course to become less ecologically destructive, they say. The challenge of the 1990s is to put this understanding into action, they say, and make the transition to sustainable forms of development and lifestyles, from the farm field to the boardroom, from the shopping cart to the national budget. We will have to make major changes, according to Agenda 21 for Change from the UN system, listeners. A roadmap to sustainable development is now taking shape. Agenda 21 is a guide for business and government policies and for personal choices into the next century, of which we're 5 years into. It was endorsed by the 1992 Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, the largest ever meeting of world leaders. Keep in mind, Rio de Janeiro has a UN building as well. This meeting took place during the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, which brought together the heads of senior officials of 179 governments. They were joined by hundreds of officials from United Nations organizations, municipal governments, business, scientific and non-governmental, and other groups. Nearby, the 1992 Global Forum held a series of meetings, lectures, seminars, and exhibits on environment and development issues to the public. This drew 18,000 participants from 166 countries, as well as 400,000 visitors. There were 8,000 journalists covering the Rio meetings, and the results were seen, heard, and read around the world, maybe for a while, listeners, but not for very long. The foundations for the Rio process were laid in 1972 when 113 nations gathered for the Stockholm Conference on Human Environment and the first global environmental meeting. In 1983, the United Nations created the World Commission on Environment and Development. 4 years later, its landmark report, Our Common Future, warned that people had to change many of the ways they did business and lived, or the world would face unacceptable levels of human suffering and environmental damage. And once again, they're all created, listeners. They're all created by the same system that's putting us in jail of sustainable communities. Wars, weather modification, aerial spraying, environmental modification, earthquakes, volcanoes, fires, tsunamis. Joan Vion has stated, there are such a thing as tsunami bombers. The commission said that the global economy had to meet people's needs and legitimate desires, but growth had to fit within the planet's ecological limits. The commission, known as the Brundtland Commission, after its chairman called for a new era of environmentally sound economic development, it said that humanity has the ability to make development sustainable, to ensure that it meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And that's been going on for a long time, since before the inception of the UN system. We can meet the present needs without compromising the needs of future generations without Agenda 21 and the UN system. It is a setup, listeners. We're being set up. On a constant basis, we're being maneuvered and manipulated. In 1989, the United Nations began planning a conference on environment and development to spell out how to achieve sustainable development. This piece that I'm covering is dated approximately 1997 because it was 5 years after the Rio document, Agenda 21 for Change. It comes from un-attractive.com. For 2 years, experts from around the world hammered out difficult agreements along the road to Rio. The international negotiating system was opened up as never before. Thousands of people from non-governmental organizations, businesses, education, women's groups, indigenous groups, and others contributed to the Rio process. Let's deal with the road from Rio. We covered the road to Rio. Now we cover the road to Rio. Agenda 21 and the other Rio documents form a series of stepping stones toward a more socially, economically, and environmentally sustainable world. The challenge we face is to put the good ideas from Rio into action, even as we refine them and develop more detailed plans. What are the more detailed plans, listeners? What we're living in 2005. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, weather wars, weather implementation and augmentation. No, I'm not even covering the bird flu scam, like the mad cow scam. I hardly covered that as well. And vaccinations, there's another one. What is it? It's kill off populations. That's what it's all about. Reduction of the population by whatever means necessary. The only hope for mankind is for mankind to get active. To those listening, to increase the listenership, tell them to come to listen to this on a constant basis. Connect the dots to where it's really going and coming. Understand, without exposing the State Department and the UN system, there is no chance. The IMF, Secretary of Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF. Every country that's a member of the UN has a governor to the IMF except communist Cuba. Go figure. 2 years of preparation for Rio broadened the global network of expertise on sustainable development. It opened the doors of international negotiations to many more people from business, non-governmental, and other groups, and it created an expectation for follow-up actions. National action plans for sustainable development need to be created in all countries based on broad public participation and community involvement. Is that right? Well, we want to participate, but we don't want to have our lives intruded upon because of the created Hegelian dialectics that maneuver life today. Those have to be exposed. They should be backed up by specific programs to deal with human needs and the sustainable use and conservation of the environment. It is too early to measure the ultimate success of Agenda 21 and the other documents, but they have already been had a clear impact. The UN, which created the Rio process, is deeply involved in seeing that the commitments made by governments are put into action. The commitments made by the leaders of governments, but the people of these governments, the people below these governments, had no say in any of this. There's a handful of people at the top telling what the human population can and cannot do. They say this means getting ratification of the Climate Change and Biodiversity Conventions and working towards other agreements, of which we never passed, listeners, in this country. The President's Council on Sustainable Development engineered it into America by executive order. The United Nations has created groups to draft an international agreement to combat desertification. Desertification is what closed the desert in California, for all intents and purposes, except a few parks, off-road or off-road vehicle parks, highly regulated. California desert is vast. It's closed. There are farmers that used to come and fill the troughs for the animals to drink. When they closed the desert, those troughs went dry. The animals starved and died. I was witness to it. I knew people that did that. we're in a setup scenario, listeners, on a constant basis, on a daily basis. We're being set up and maneuvered to accept what we never knew about. They want to work out means to prevent overexploitation of fish in the high seas beyond national coastal zones. They want to assist all small island nations to develop in ways that meet human needs while maintaining a healthy environment. The UN is increasing help for nations to implement sustainable development. A high-level UN Commission on Sustainable Development has been created. Keep in mind, the State Department has the website, Sustainable Development Partnerships, from the State Department, listeners. It will monitor and report on how the world is living up to commitments made in Rio. By 1997, the United Nations will hold a special session to review progress in reaching the goals of the Earth Summit. Around the world, governments, businesses, non-governmental, and other organizations are already putting the ideas from Rio to work, and it's crucial to maintain the momentum of the Rio process and implement the agreements that were reached. This task will require not only the leadership and funding of governments and business, but the vision, cooperation, and work of every citizen. We have to augment the propaganda machine to accept what we're being told. It has to be changed. We have to get the American people to understand what's being driven at them. And the people of the world have to understand this, and most of them do, to many respects. Agenda 21, the plan in place to control everything we do, all the way down to the WTO, the World Toilet Organization. So from the Nature Conservancy, and I was going to cover world peace through world force, creating the UN Army. However, when I printed it out, I didn't get the right side of the border completed in the printout, so I cannot read that to you. World peace through world force, creating the UN Army. You can search it out on unattractive.com. But from the Nature Conservancy, transfer of development rights, innovative green space protection tool. Isn't this amazing? Transfer of development rights is a cutting-edge tool that encourages green space protection while still allowing anticipated development. Our precious North Georgia mountains, valleys, and streams are facing enormous development pressure. Is that a fact? Future growth is expected to consume much of the existing privately owned land in this part of the state. Is that true? Is that a fact? Or does Ted Turner own most of it? Or Maurice Strong? Or some other no-name person that has high prominence to buy up land for personal purposes? And the Nature Conservancy, where do they fit in? While many landowners are deeply motivated to protect their land for future generations, other landowners just about have to develop their land in order to recoup its financial value. Well, maybe that's because of the taxes are so high that they can't afford to keep the land. A heavy progressive income tax is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. A heavy property tax is just the same thing. And what is the money being used for? But not to keep us from being successful in America and the rest of the world. Think about that. Where are our tax dollars being utilized? Well, basically, your property taxes are used for schools and public projects in your local communities. Some good, some bad, but when you see the dumbing process in the schools happening, in many respects, don't you feel a little indignant to pay property taxes to the dumbing down process in the schools, where remedial reading has to be put into every college and university throughout the country? to bring high school students up to snuff so they can communicate in college? Is this not insane? So a transfer of development rights program may be the solution, providing North Georgia counties and cities an opportunity to proactively protect open space while respecting private property rights. Is that right? Will they honestly do that in the long run? How can you come into a situation with the Nature Conservancy and still own your property, listeners? TDR, Transfer Development Rights, programs provide cities and counties with a mechanism for encouraging the protection of open spaces while still allowing development floodplains, forests, streams, scenic views, agricultural areas, and historic and recreational resources can be preserved while protecting property values and allowing for the future growth. Under a TDR program, that's Transfer of Development Rights, development rights are transferred, that's transferred from areas designated for protection, sending zones, to areas designated for future growth, receiving zones. The transfer of development rights from a sending zone to a receiving zone occurs when a landowner, typically a developer, proposes an increase in density on a particular piece of land, which normally accompanies a rezoning request. If the local government approves the increase in density, the developer then acquires the development rights from landowners in an area where the community supports green space protection. Once a property owner has sold or transferred their development rights, the property is then permanently protected by a deed restriction or conservation easement. The TDR program offers many benefits. TDRs allows for future growth within a community while maintaining the rural character of the landscape. As a result, residential sprawl can be averted by directing development to areas that are more appropriate, such as near urban areas where infrastructure is readily accessible. Is that a fact? Is that really the way it's going to be in the future? How can this be, listeners? How can this be? My God, the show's almost over. I can't even believe this. TDRs protect open space at no expense to taxpayers. TDRs ensure landowners do not suffer a reduction in property value that can accompany other zoning mechanisms. TDRs provide conservation-minded landowners with a financial alternative to development by protecting valuable rural, agricultural, and forested lands without taking property rights. TDRs promote fairness by allowing landowners and developers to choose between TDR and conventional development while protecting ultimate build-out populations for cities and counties. A TDR program holds tremendous potential to protect rural green space, including agricultural lands, floodplains, scenic views, and recreational access point through North Georgia and the Etowah watershed. Fascinating, I would say. The new urbanism, creating livable, sustainable communities, listeners, vital, promotes the creation and restoration of diverse, walkable, compact, vibrant, mixed-use communities composed of the same components as conventional development, but assembled in a more integrated fashion in the form of complete communities. These contain housing, workspaces, shops, entertainment, schools, parks, and civic facilities essential to the daily lives of the residents, all within easy walking distance of each other. New urbanism promotes the increased use of trains and light rail instead of more highways and roads. Urban living is rapidly becoming the new hip and modern way to live for people of all ages. Currently, there are over 500 new urbanist projects planned or under construction in the United States alone, half of which are in historic urban centers. New urbanism is the most important planning movement of the century. and is about creating a better future for us all, I see. It is an international movement to reform the design of the built environment and is about raising our quality of life and standard of living by creating better places to live. New urbanism is the revival of our lost art of place making and is essentially a reordering of the built environment into the form of complete cities, towns, villages, and neighborhoods, the way communities have been built for centuries around the world. New urbanism involves fixing and infilling cities, as well as the creation of compact new towns and villages. I see. So, having created these directions with Agenda 21, what do we have to deal with? In every country of the world, there's an Agenda 21 that's a member of the UN system. We have wars. We have weather wars, environmental wars. We have fires. All of these can be used to move communities or cities or towns and relocate them. We're experiencing a massive relocation of people from the southeast, quote-unquote, region of our country today. An unprecedented amount of people are leaving Florida because think and use your head. If you've been inundated with five hurricanes last year, a major few hurricanes this year, wouldn't you want to relocate somewhere else? And yet, according to Ben Livingston, according to James McCanney, and others, these can be steered out of harm's way, and they're not. So as a result of all this, what do we have, listeners? Smart Growth America. Smart Growth America. Environmental Protection Agency, Smart Growth. United Nations at 60, Broken Promises is something for you to look at. The creation for smart growth or smarter growth, better communities, less traffic for the Washington, D.C. region. There's that word, regionalism. Smart growth seminars, smart schools. How can you have smart schools when the fourth graders in Oklahoma can't even read proficiently in the fourth grade? Are well below the average norm. At one time in this country, we were the smartest nation on the face of the earth. Now the students from communist China are becoming smarter than any country on the face of the earth. Go figure. And they come to our colleges and universities to learn. Much to do, much to research. Get other people on board. Get them to understand what's going on. The first place to go to is AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. Good night, listeners.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTA.